Welcome to the Delta Flyers journey through the wormhole with Dax, Quark, Tom, and Harry. Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Terry Farrell, Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, Garrett Wong. For the complete and amazing version of this podcast, please check out patreon.com/the Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today. Welcome, gentlemen and lady. Hello.
Well, hello, sir. Well,
hello.
Hello, Terry. Terry, the way that your background...
Yeah, it's like an explosion of happiness.
I had to get a new one.
It's a
beautiful halo.
I don't
know where
halo.
It is, right? But NASA.
NASA,
right?
Thanks, NASA. NASA's amazing. By the way, did you hear NASA just release this recording of a black hole, what it sounds like?
And
no!
It is the craziest thing. I don't know if it's like a wormhole, so maybe it applies to DS9, but there's they've recorded the sound.
How do they know that? How?
One of their things,
probe went all the way out there and recorded the sound for NASA. That's amazing.
Or maybe a telescope.
Like, can you tell me what it sounds like?
It sounds scary as all get out.
It's a scary sound.
To me, it was terrifying.
I heard my neighbor's wall. Mm-hmm. But this supporting wall, structural wall, fall down. I was in my house in LA at the top of Franklin and Kings Road.
Yeah.
And it sounded like an apocalypse.
Yeah.
And
I
was like, oh my God, what is this? I go outside and the wall had fallen into the driveway. And I was like, not my driveway.
Yeah, there's some sounds that like you don't even have to know what it is. The sound is terrifying.
Bad.
That's what a black hole sounds like. Yeah.
How did they record it though?
I don't know. Magic? NASA has NASA magic.
Yeah.
NASA magic.
Clearly.
JPL magic.
Clearly. All right. So it is now time for us to say happy birthday to those people who have upcoming birthdays. So Robbie, why don't you take the first one?
Yeah. Jonathan Brooks, January 12th. Jonathan, happy birthday on January 12th. That's Rebecca's birthday, is January 12th.
There you go. Happy birthday, Jonathan. And Rebecca. Really, we should say that
Rebecca,
too.
Exactly.
While we're at it.
Oh.
If we don't say her name and she's editing this episode, she'll be like, I cannot
believe
I didn't
say
my name.
Oh, my God. We love Rebecca.
We have another birthday, and that would be Seth Carlson. So happy birthday to Seth Carlson. Then 2 days later, not the next day, January 14th, happy birthday, Seth.
Happy birthday, Seth.
Happy birthday.
Okay, for our last birthday, we have Dat Cow, whose birthday is on January 18th. Happy birthday, Dat.
Happy birthday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Are you guys ready to talk about this week's episode?
I have my notes.
You got your notes. Look at that.
Terry's got her notes. She has a
very
show our notes to the screen. You just showed how the sausage is made.
21st century, and I am not.
You've got a spiral notebook. That's the official Terry Farrell.
Terry still uses a feather quill. She uses the quill to write her notes down. Yes. Okay. Captive Pursuit.
You're not well.
Captive Pursuit. Here we go. Let's start off, as we always do, with our poetry synopsis. And here is my haiku, and it will be followed by Robbie's limerick for Captive Pursuit. Here we go. My haiku for Captive Pursuit. Tosk, always running. O'Brien's pen, Tosk, teller. Quark helps change the rules.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys even got that at all, did you? So what I said was, did you get it?
Yes.
A line? Okay.
Well, I watched the episode.
All right. No, but my reference to Penn and Teller, the magicians, because Penn.
Well, I worked for them. Yes.
Speak. Oh, so you know. And Tosk really doesn't speak much. So he's telling.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah.
All he says is, I am Tosk, basically.
Yes, he does.
I think, and he says it a lot. I think this episode should be called, instead of
Captive Pursuit.
It should be called I Am Tosk.
Well, Do you guys? Right? Yes, but what 100%. Else? In, what else in filmed entertainment is similar to that, guys? Cool. It's very obvious.
I am Groot.
Yes.
Here comes my limerick.
Okay.
Poetry synopsis. Mm. Here we go. There's a Dabo girl pissed by Quark's sexual advances and a lost alien in some rough circumstances. Miles kind of adopts him. Then the hunter guy stops him. To save his honor, Miles must sometimes take chances.
Mm, very nice.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It yes. rhymes. It all rhymes. Does. It checks out.
It does.
Mine ends.
Do you have a poem?
I do.
Dang, I do.
I know. I'm getting in the rhythm of actually yeah, you gotta doing get in the all poetry, my homework. I have a lot of work to do mood. Tomorrow morning before let's, I see you again. But
let's go. What you got?
Ready?
Yeah.
Ready.
O'Brien welcomes a nervous stranger. Oh. A trustworthy being, or does he bring danger? Mm-hmm. Language is a barrier here. Look out. The hunters are near. Tosk's life, his culture is at stake. O'Brien saves the day. Let them eat cake.
Love it.
I like it.
I really
you've got
like
some
that
poetry
yeah.
juice. You've got some
thought,
real
let the meat cake. Some... I'm like, I'm done. Stop. Yeah. I've already spent 3 hours there. Trying to make this work.
I know.
It's harder than I thought, but really creatively
yeah.
satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It good doesn't job. Matter that it's not perfect.
It's no, it doesn't.
And, a and mental it's... exercise. Mm. I thank you both for.
Yes.
I love it. I love that you're doing it. Yes. I love our poems and the different aspects that they sort of lean into or capture. And
yes.
In
a,
yes.
You great. Both said things that I was like, oh, yes, but I didn't. That wasn't what resonated with no. me, but right. I got yeah. it. What you were yeah. saying. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay. Let's jump right in. Yes. Teleplay is by Jill Sherman Donner. And Michael Piller, story by Jill Sherman Donner. Wonder if any relation to Richard Donner. Okay.
I know. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm just wondering. Wonder. Directed by my old teacher, Corey Allen. And right off the bat, I wanted to ask you, how was it working with Corey for you?
Yeah.
What do you remember about Corey Allen? If you remember anything, I don't know. It's been so long.
You're saying his name. If I could just see his picture, I feel like I would.
You're like me, Terry. I couldn't remember.
Oh, my
God.
I'm a visual person. So I'm like, oh, shit, I know his name. I just can't.
Well, Corey Allen directed a lot of TNG. He did a bunch of them. Yeah. And he was a veteran,
older director. I have like a good feeling.
Director.
I don't have a feeling like, I don't have a bad feeling about him. I just don't remember what he looked like.
Here you go.
Oh, I liked him.
Yeah. Oh. Because
I liked him a lot. I all just right. remember seeing his picture. I remember him feeling easy.
Yeah. He was very experienced. I bet he was very, capable and relaxed. Yeah.
And what makes him a good director and what makes Robbie a good director is that they were former or they started as actors. And there's Mr. Corey Allen in Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean. He played the main bad guy, Biff, in that movie. So. That's cool.
Oh, crazy. My goodness.
Yeah. And, the most amazing story, I've told it before, but I'll tell you now because you probably don't know it. When he auditioned for Rebel Without a Cause, it was probably a group of like 30 other guys that were in the callback audition. And the director said, we're going to have the audition at Hollywood High in the bleachers out of the football
oh my gosh. Stadium.
And they're like, what? So they're all there. And the director's like, everyone's thinking, are we going to run lines here? Are we going to do the script? He's like, no, nothing to do with script. I want all of you to go up to the top of the bleachers and come back down and on my mark. And he goes, go. And all of them are like running and I'm falling over each other. Everything, pop, 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 pop. They run up and they run back down. They think it's a race, right? But everyone's like out of breath. And you just hear one person clunk, clunk, He's stepping down. He didn't run. He walked slowly up and he walked slowly down. And that was Corey Allen. He got the job because of that.
Wow.
Because he was in character.
Wow. He was in character and he marched to the beat of a different drum. Cool. He didn't care. Yeah. So that was.
No, but the guy would never have run down.
Exactly.
No.
That character would have never run.
He's the main bad guy. He's the leader of that gang. He's not
bad guy's the one.
Yeah.
He's all the one lackeys are running around.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly. So that got him
the job. That's very cool.
Oh, I love that story.
Yeah. But you remember how warm he was, right? Corey Allen was someone who could really make you feel comfortable. You know, you didn't, he's like that really kind grandfather kind of figure. You know, he was there for you and just warm. That's what it was. So
awesome.
He was one of those guys that could put their arm around me and I wouldn't feel like, me too.
Yeah, exactly. No, you felt safe. Am I right?
Yeah.
You felt safe. That's a great way to put it. Yeah. We also have guest stars, Garrett Graham. Robbie, you know that name. Mm-hmm. He played Q2 in Voyager. So that was somebody we already have, you know, work experience with. And Scott McDonald, another person that worked on Voyager.
Yes, it was on Voyager.
And Kelly Curtis, that's our other guest star there.
And Scott was the lead, right?
Scott played Tosk, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Can I just tell you something? You might already know this, but my dear makeup artist, Michael Westmore, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yes, we've heard of
him. Won an Emmy for the makeup of Tosk.
Oh, no.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, and the original makeup was too expensive, and they had to downgrade it, but isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah. An Emmy
for that. I wonder
that.
How many Emmys Michael Westmore has. He's probably
a lot.
Too many to count.
Oh my
gosh. He has an Emmy
It's
room,
above his bar,
guess.
And it's like, I've been to his house.
You've seen it.
You've been to his house? I've never been to his house.
I took Max and my husband, Brian, my first husband. We all went there and Max was like, I want to say like 10 when we went.
Yeah.
But his Emmys and his Oscars.
He's got Oscars too. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you take Robbie and I
it's
next
like,
time?
There please? They are. Yes.
Yeah. Just take us. Yeah. We'd like to go.
Yes. We'll be your 10-year-old children.
You guys are going to have to fly to L.A. Yes. When I do the documentary for him.
Okay.
And then I'll show you.
Okay. I will.
I'm sure
love
he won't
that.
Mind. But I wanted you to know that. And also that was the number 4 for all of our ratings. That episode was number 4 in
that season?
Rating for the whole season. Yeah.
Wow.
That
was very popular.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It was very. That. It was a great episode.
But I think it was a 1, 2, 3, 4 thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we go. Then we
all
go
right,
like, why aren't they going anywhere? But anyway, while we're still here.
Yes.
We start with an exterior space shot of the gorgeous station. And now we're in Cisco's office. Miss Sarda, a Dabo girl, is basically filing a sexual harassment complaint with Commander Cisco. And unfortunately, it's in the contract that sexual advances are allowed. But Ben does assure her that she will have a talk with Quark and rectify this situation. I love the one bow in her hair, Robbie. That one bow, one single bow on her forehead right there.
She was really
so
good.
Does it not say Hello Kitty?
It does. That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to say it, but there you go.
Nice.
Okay.
I also love how she talks about her contract and she says something like, he showed me my employment agreement. See, there in Ferengi print, page 21, subsection D, paragraph 12. Mm. And I thought, 21 page? My Voyager contract wasn't 21 pages. Like, that's a long contract. Wow, those Ferengi really love a contract.
Oh, my
gosh. Yes,
they
do.
Yeah.
But this scene was so different from what, you know, I mean, from Voyager or TNG in that it was so much more real life, I felt, you know? It was sort of like,
It felt very relatable, like contemporary situations.
Totally. Like, do you remember, Robbie, any scene that was like a meeting with HR like this was? Not really, right? I mean, we didn't have anything like that, I felt, you know, not like this, so.
By the way, this is a scene I don't think, spoiler alert, but I don't think anything else in the episode refers to this scene.
No,
like It has nothing to do with a plot.
No.
And honestly, watching it, I would think at the time it would have been like, well, that's a fantasy of what life is like.
Yes.
Being a woman, that like, who would have listened to me? Certainly not a man.
Yeah.
Like, this is injustice right now. That would have just, I'm not even going to have that conversation right now.
Yeah. And
sixth season, but first season, not having that conversation, I'm never going to win it. Yeah. So it's kind of remarkable that it's even in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does paint not a very rosy picture of Ferengis, right? I mean, of Armin specifically, or Armin's character, and we know Armin personally, so it's really hard to like, you know,
Armin is like completely Quark, the opposite of Quark.
Exactly.
Yes, so he is. 100%.
That's why it's so weird to watch this and see that, you know, he's that guy, but in real life, he's not that guy. So that's
not at all. Mm-hmm. No, he's very respectful of women.
Sisko gets a call near the end of the scene from Kira saying they're picking up elevated neutrino readings. As he heads towards the ops bridge, he's got his last line to Kira. And I noticed he was walking really slow past the camera
to
get the whole line out. And I was like, I hate when they do that.
He's like stuck in molasses. He's like, whoa.
And I've been on both sides of this. Like, I've been directing.
Walk slow, talk fast.
Yes. Yeah. Get your whole line out just before you exit the camera. God. And I saw Avery.
But don't you get good at it? You get really good at it.
He was better at it.
He was very good at it. Yeah. He did a good job.
Yeah.
But I was just like, why is he walking slow when there's yellow? He literally is saying,
put us on yellow alert. It's the opposite
of the urgency. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like his line's saying, there's an emergency, but he's walking half speed.
Technical difficulties.
Yes. Well, so we go to ops next. Cisco's arriving at ops. They're picking up these readings of the damaged ship.
Yeah.
And then they pull it up on screen and there's this alien, which we'll learn is Tosk. And he's very nervous. He was following one of the DS9 ships through the wormhole, he explains, and his ship is in trouble. Camera's shaking a lot on his side. They're trying to convince him to let them help repair it. He finally agrees. They tractor him in and Sisko asks O'Brien to find out why he was so nervous.
Yeah. But they wanted to beam him off originally. And he says, absolutely not. I will not leave my ship. And so that's when O'Brien suggests using a tractor beam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had a question, Terry.
Yeah.
For the first time, I was aware of the background in ops, the background actors. I was aware that
this
they
is
were there.
Where I wish we were seeing it at the same time we're talking about it. Yeah. Right.
Well, it's more of a general question. Like on Voyager, we had the same background on the bridge all the time. It was the same people pretty much. We had very established background. Did you have that on DS9? Did you have the same people in ops often?
I would have to venture to say not always.
Yeah.
A lot of times, if they could, they would use our stand-ins so that they would get paid more money to be, you know, just like there's episodes where there's a comm, maybe I'm not in the episode, but my voice is in it. But that way I still get the residual, which I think is an amazing thing that the production did.
Yeah.
But no, I honestly think by the end of the day, when those kind of things were shot, it was like, who's here? Just get them here. And other than our stand-ins, it wasn't always the same.
It was whoever.
I mean, I'm sure there were like predominantly the people that when we got to a certain place that were the same people, but this is the very beginning of the series. So there weren't people that I went like, other than stand-ins, there was nobody that came back. I know you. Yeah. Yeah. No, but there were stand-ins that I thought, oh, yay, there's Robin. Or you know what I mean?
I know. I love that when the stand-ins had an opportunity to play a role or do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that also has to do with the fact that you guys could have replacements. You know, we couldn't have replacements. We're in the Delta Quadrant, so nobody else could come in.
There's
we're
only
lost.
130
It's the same people always. That's why we have the same people. That's
100%, right?
Yeah. Whereas
ours is very
DS9, people can travel. It's
transient.
It's fluid. Yeah, people come
it's
in.
Totally
people
transient.
Leave.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Which is great for whoever's hiring
extras
background.
Yeah,
they could use
anybody.
They got lucky.
I had another thought on this scene. It was just a thing that kind of bugged me a little bit. So this Tosk guy, they literally say, this is a species from the Gamma Quadrant that they've never, they have no data on this species.
Yeah.
But yet somehow the universal translator is able to
translate,
have them communicate.
Yes.
How can he speak English? And my, you know, the universal translator is the way that that would happen, that we would hear in English.
Yes.
The computer would translate it. But they say they don't have any data on this species. They don't have any
data. Oh, so you're saying that the universal translator would not be able to translate his language because it's not even in the database.
It's not even
in
the database.
That's what hit me.
But then I also thought, you know what? On Voyager, we ran into species all the time that weren't in the database. So how did it work then?
I don't know. Some AI is able to figure out their language.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's some things we have to let go because they're going to say, it's television.
You got to let it go.
Star Trek. Yeah. Deal with it. Yeah. It's a universal translator.
Yeah. Sisko kind of orders O'Brien. He doesn't order. He just says, why don't you head down there? Maybe he'll feel more comfortable seeing just one person. And as he goes over to the docking port, O'Brien arrives, and did you notice as the door closed behind him, it bounced? It didn't do the
yes.
And I was like,
what?
That was a, we had
that
Will
was
Toms.
A no, no.
I don't know. Human error.
Who's your door guy on DS9?
I'm not, going to give them up.
Look at you.
Because what a thankless job is that?
Yeah. Maybe he got fired after this episode and someone else came in and took his place.
We had one guy, Will Toms, that did the doors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will was a
one
master.
Guy. How did he do both sides?
His whole job was because it was
we
on
had
a
two
pulley
people.
System. No, we didn't need to.
We had one person.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They made it so that the pulley system would just open and close the door. One person can do it. You
guys
Will had two.
It.
So maybe the second person made it bounce.
How many people does it take
to screw in a light bulb?
On Deep Space Nine, two. On
two
your
people.
Show, one.
One.
We're in the Delta Quadrant.
This is good, though. This is saying that we progressed from Deep Space Nine to your show.
Yeah,
that's
technology.
True.
Is
that's true.
That's a very good thing.
O'Brien walks into the ship. He can't find the alien. Nowhere. The captain, the pilot of this ship is nowhere to be seen. And Dax does check sensors from ops and confirms that the alien is indeed present on board this ship.
There's
life signs. O'Brien does say a few calming words to the invisible alien and starts to troubleshoot the damage. He opens up this hatch and realizes that he's never seen systems like these in his entire life.
When Corey Allen is directing this, he had some really nice shots, and this was one I loved when it was down on the deck under the desk and O'Brien's kind of walking around. It was that low wide angle. I thought it was very graphic, very Star Trek. I thought it was great. And it helped the tension too, because he didn't cover it. He didn't cover Miles.
No.
It was just this tableau with Miles sort of looking
and
around.
And how is he so relaxed?
Yes, he is.
And there's an entity in there he doesn't know who is incredibly nervous.
He could be jumped at any second, but he's very trusting.
I would be nervous.
Yeah.
And he opens it.
Here's the thing about O'Brien. His sleeves are rolled up, so he's ready. He's ready.
He's ready to
if
get
it was
on
somebody
the flight
else,
to the next
with their
film
sleeves
he's doing.
Down, they would not be ready, but he's ready for business.
That's why he and Tosk bond, because Tosk also has some rolled up sleeves.
Oh, that's
in the way,
right.
Too, if you noticed that. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Nice
I wonder
detail.
If Bob Blackman thought about that, said like,
beforehand?
They're going to connect.
Maybe.
Let's have Tosk's character be.
You know what? I like that detail.
I do.
I do too.
I do.
I don't know if it's true, but let's make it so.
Let's make it so.
Let's assume that that is correct.
In our world, it works.
Yes. As he opens up this hatch and he realizes that he's never seen these systems before, he sees something that looks like a plasma injector. He's like, well, that kind of looks like a plasma injector. Then it shows a shot of it and it's got that spinning blue light. All I could think about was the old Kmart blue light special light that was spinning around. That's what I caught from that. I was like, oh.
And suddenly I'm seven.
They incorporated that. Yay. Yes. It went back to my past. The alien does appear kind of out of thin air over his shoulder. And he says the caladrium flow has been damaged, which then causes his head
O'Brien's head to hit the it's like a classic, like somebody working under a car or something, and it bonks his head. It was very funny.
Most definitely. Well, O'Brien does introduce himself to him, and we find out that he is I am Tosk line comes out. The I am Groot line comes
the
out.
The first time, one of many times.
One of many times. Yep. They do leave together to give the reactor time to cool. O'Brien asks about the damage to the hull, and Tosk says, oh, it happened traveling through the wormhole, which is a bit of a white lie, I suppose. But we don't know what's happening yet regarding
it's
that.
It's a lie.
It's a straight up lie. Yes.
Lie.
I love the bit, though, when he says, I am Tosk, where Miles is like, wait, is that your species? Is that what? Is that your name?
Is that your name or your species?
And he just keeps going,
yes.
I am Tosk.
Yeah.
And okay. At what point? Tell me, what point is it where you just kind of realize that he gets English for a second. There is at one point.
With Tosk, when he says like piece of cake, that stuff, right? Later.
Oh, maybe, was that
what
it?
You're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Sorry.
That's when he starts catching up on idioms and little slang things. Like he's starting.
But by the way.
So he's really intelligent.
Yes.
Is what I was getting. This character who like Tosk, who is this kind of an alligator.
Yes, reptilian.
It's really
or
well
something.
Done.
I
yes,
said
it's
dinosaur.
Really well done.
It looked like almost like a dinosaur. All of them look dinosaurish.
Yeah. They said in the whole thing that I was reading about Michael Westmore was that it was inspired by an alligator.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Yeah, which is clear when you look at it. But yeah. You could say armadillo.
Yeah, this could
still be
an armadillo.
The same kind of thing going on.
Yeah. Armadillos are shy, like Tosk. Armadillos are kind of shy. And Tosk is a little shy. The other thing I love about Tosk is...
He doesn't speak English.
Doesn't speak English. And all he keeps saying is, I am Tosk. I did notice Tosk looks back when the rolly doors, the big gear doors shut.
Yeah, he looks back at the gear
doors. He looks back. He's very interested in the gear rolly doors, which I am also interested in. I love those doors. I've said it since the pilot.
Yeah.
Those are cool doors. Yeah. So
maybe
I'm with
he
Tosk
looked,
on this.
It yes. is.
Maybe he yes. looked back because he initially looked over and said, hey, it bounces when it closes. But this time it didn't bounce is why he looked back.
He's possibly. Very interested in the bouncing part.
Right.
Joe had a day off, Brian was in there and he got it done.
They had a backup door guy. That's what happened. They walk through a security little zone and an alarm goes off. And my God, Scott McDonald making up those moves of like, they were awesome. It was so amazing.
He's
his reaction, his like defensive thing. But the moves look like dance moves to me. They were so cool.
Yeah.
How he was, his physicality that he found in that character was a good job, Scott McDonald. Good
Very
job.
Very talented actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. But the alarm goes off because O'Brien's carrying a weapon.
That's right, the phaser.
He says it's only a defensive weapon. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hurt you. So
yeah,
I thought that was interesting. I didn't know. Maybe that's why O'Brien was so relaxed in the thing because he knew he was armed. I don't
that's
know.
That's right. He could just pick that up.
And interesting.
Handle business.
Mm-hmm. He does walk past Bashir. Tosk is very animal-like when he sniffs. Bashir, did you see that?
Yeah, he does. This is the only time where close talking works because it's Tosk. He can do that. He can get right up onto Bashir and get his scent, basically.
Oh, but how about you're just like you're doing this whole physical thing right now?
I am. I'm turning into him, basically.
Little reptilian.
I'm doing the Tosk. Yeah, thank you.
And the other thing that's interesting is he does tell Tosk that he's the first visitor from the other side. So this is...
That doesn't make sense because didn't they say they've had five or six
scary.
Ships a day coming in? So like, how does that possible?
But I think that means that Alpha Quadrant ships have gone to the Gamma Quadrant and then come back.
So that's no different. No one from Gamma has come here on their own accord.
That's what
you're
he says. You're the
troll
first.
Ships have gone out and come
remember,
back. Starfleet
remember
ones.
That we moved closer to the wormhole. So before we were close to the wormhole, there might have been ships coming in and out that we didn't even know about.
True.
That's true. That's true. But this is the first one.
I know.
That...
I just thought of it. So I'm just saying we're close
well, Terry,
to it now.
If you just thought of that and you hadn't thought of it before, we could go back and reshoot this episode. If you want to do something different,
let's do that. Yes,
let's do that.
We
have a couple episodes.
If they
of
can make
I'd
Carrie
like
Fisher look young, they can make all three of us look young.
Yes. There you go.
I've got the Zoom filter that does that. It's not that big a deal.
It's not.
No.
Yeah. Just, no, I wouldn't trade for what I've learned in here. No.
Me too. Me too.
Tosk is being escorted by O'Brien to some guest quarters, but yes. Tosk only wants to work on his ship, and O'Brien thinks he needs to sleep. Tosk says, I only need 17 minutes of sleep per cycle. 17 minutes?
I know.
Boy, if we all operated like that, that'd be amazing. Just
I would love that. I can't tell you how many shows on Netflix I would be able to binge watch.
You sleep for 17 minutes and you're good for 24 hours. Yeah, that's amazing. O'Brien basically says to him, he can ask the computer for anything that he needs, if he wants food, this, that. And after O'Brien leaves, Tosk does talk to the computer and he asks for a map of the station and then specifically a location of where the weapons are stored, and kind of leaves us in a commercial break where we're like, uh-oh, he might be evil. What's going on?
Did you think, not Tosk.
I
noticed
upset.
That the bed in Tosk's quarters.
Yes.
The bed was that coffin-shaped bed.
Yes.
Yeah. What is the same bed that Tuvok had in our finale episode? They must have stored this bed for 7 years or more and then used it on Tuvok. We have the same exact bed.
We have that bed.
Oh.
Yes. We do. The it's Cardassian bed.
It's the it's a
Cardassian-shaped bed.
I have spoiler alerts, but I cannot do it. But it's shaped in the same...
Like a coffin.
Yes.
Well, you know, that's creepy.
Cardassian and coffin both begin with C, so it makes sense from that angle.
It looks very uncomfortable to me.
It does. It doesn't look like there's any squish to that mattress. It looks like a really just
and there's not firm... a lot of room for shenanigans.
Yeah, and you need room for shenanigans, even Cardassians.
Absolutely.
What are you referring to? What is a shenanigan?
King-size bed. You need a king-size bed to move around.
Yes, for shenanigans.
For shenanigans?
I'm so glad. I don't think we've had shenanigans in our podcast before.
Okay.
Moving on from shenanigans.
Let's move it on.
Go to the commander's office. Miles tells Sisko that he just doesn't quite trust this Tosk guy. Like, he likes him, but there's something off. And he says to the captain, he says, someone shot his ship. Like, this was a weapons fire. Not wormhole damage.
Damage, yeah.
This all
and he's
sounds
like,
so
this
crazy.
Guy didn't tell the truth.
Yeah.
But I like him.
Yeah, there
but
was kind of an edgy thing about him, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Sisko says, basically, stay close to him.
And he says, I'll also make sure Odo stays close to him as well. That's when he says that here. Yeah.
In the middle, he does. He says,
I forgot. Odo's staying close.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he ends up later on. But O'Brien, in the middle of the scene, says, you know, there's an old saying, a man who is always looking over his shoulder is waiting for trouble to find him. And I felt like, because Colm is Irish, was that a recurring thing? There's an old saying, like an Irish. Did they do that, Terry?
No, no. We're going to find out.
We are going to find out.
We are.
It reminded me of like
Harry saying there's an old Chinese saying.
Or Harry saying there's
not
an old
Chinese.
Did you say that? Did you say that?
Yes. And they thought he was Chinese.
I don't know because I didn't see every single episode that aired. So
yeah, Harry said there's an old Chinese saying quite a few times. Robert Beltran, Chakotay, said,
there's an old
my people have a saying.
Yeah.
Yes.
My people.
My people. This is a little bit of an Irish saying. There's an old saying. He didn't say Irish, but I feel like.
Yeah. Well, he has the accent. It's quite natural.
It's implied. Mm-hmm. It's implied.
Yeah. All right. We're inside Tosk's ship again. And now we have the bonding scene between O'Brien and Tosk, where they start to learn each other's names for different ship systems and idioms like piece of cake. O'Brien says that the damage can be fixed really easily. And my issue with this scene was as they crawl out of the little engine room or whatever it is, you can see that the skin on the back of Tosk.
The neck.
It's moving
yes,
and folding and it's undulating. And it's like, you can tell that's fake. You know what I'm saying?
Rubber.
So that's, it's rubber. And that was my one.
But except for that moment, this was the best makeup that we had seen.
Oh, head on. It was amazing. Of course, head on. But doing
his
neck skin, his lips were great. There was no.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That feels like a wardrobe thing should have covered it.
Yeah. Or maybe they should have glued it down onto
glued it down
skin.
More. Yeah, they glued it down onto his back.
Maybe he had back hair.
Maybe
he did.
Maybe. He said, I will not shave my back hair. And they were like, fine, because you won't glue it down.
My partner loves that.
My partner thinks this is
it.
This is it. Yes. Okay.
So you're not shaving it.
All right.
Maybe he didn't even have a back.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. That's okay, why I folded. There was no back.
Did you also find
it? It's possible.
Does it feel like Friday night to you guys?
It's not. Yes, it's not.
But it's not.
It's not. But
the other thing that's weird is O'Brien says that as his crew finishes work on the repairs, he's going to offer to buy Tosk a drink. And I'm
drink.
What crew? There's no one else in that scene. Where are they? And so
it was weird that there was nobody else.
No one else working
on
anything.
There are inconsistent moments.
Yes.
I feel like Miles does that a lot.
Of course,
Miles
does that.
Yes, on all of them. Mm-hmm. But Miles does that a lot, where he'll talk about, like, in that episode where all the things were breaking and he was overwhelmed with all the repairs. And it was like he was the only one, pretty much. I mean, there was a couple of people now and then, but
Who
wouldn't be overwhelmed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's probably on the same time zone he was on from whatever film he was about to film or filming or whatever. Yes.
Yeah, he worked a lot, didn't he?
He was always in and out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we go to Quark's. They're going to get a drink. At the very beginning, there's a group shot where they go, Dabo! And they're laughing. And then they continue laughing and they walk away.
They
from
walk
Quark's
away laughing.
Hysterical. And I'm like, Is
it funny to win? I don't get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you win the game, is that the most hysterical thing? Or It was a little odd. The hysterical laughter was confusing.
Okay.
We have to talk afterwards
about how you guys watch this versus how I watch it because you're saying this and I'm like, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just look for weird.
To me, that probably wasn't
weird. Weird things that I'm like,
that wasn't weird for me. That was weird for you then, right?
Right.
So that just didn't seem.
Yeah.
But is this the scene, the first time O'Brien says barkeep?
Yes. This is when he goes, barkeep. And then, Quark is like, don't call me barkeep. And he comes in there really hard with that. And I wrote down in my notes, O'Brien is mean to Quark. And I don't know what the backstory is here. I don't know how it got to this point. But there's definitely some weird relationship where O'Brien doesn't give Quark the time of day, it seems. You know, he's a little
pissy. It seemed to me he didn't know Quark.
Really?
Yeah. That he was just the barkeep. Like, just barkeep.
That makes sense.
Irish guy who's just like, whatever, just bring my freaking beer. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't know you. I don't care who you are. Why am I respecting you?
Right.
It didn't seem that he knew that that was Quark. Who is Quark's?
But then he does say, he's like, to Toss, he goes, this Quark is the guy who's going to prey on all your devices. Your vices. Yes, he talks about. So I feel like
and
he does
his
know
devices.
Him, you know?
He's going to
take advantage of your vices. Yeah.
So does he just not respect Quark?
I think it's that. I think he doesn't respect him. I think he knows exactly who he is.
So you're right. He was just being mean to him.
Yeah. Because he feels like he's kind of slimy, you know, in a way. He's like a used car salesman is the way that I feel like he feels.
He kind of is. Exactly. Yeah. Well, think about the first scene with his 21-page contract and the stuff in the
girl. Yeah.
Come on. Nice. Right? That's why O'Brien's mad. That's why the scene was in it.
Yeah.
To motivate O'Brien to be mad to Quark.
All right. So Quark is trying to interest Tosk in a short fantasy adventure in a holosuite. Yes. And Tosk responds. He says, I have no need for that because I live the greatest adventure one could ever desire. And I thought, oh my gosh. As a viewer, you're wondering, like, what is he doing?
What is that
what
greatest
does he do?
Adventure?
What is he?
I wouldn't be on that mission with him. 100%.
When you find out what the mission
is,
I don't think you're going to want to be on that mission.
Yeah. What does he do? You know, we don't know.
Yes, but it sounds great right now.
It sounds amazing. It sounds like he's
when you find out what his mission was, it's not a fun mission.
No, but the way he says it, you're like, okay, he's a Cirque du Soleil performer or something. Like, he does something like amazing that everyone.
Does that not say something to the human condition that we listen with our own perspective?
Of course.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we have you here, by the way, you're Terry. Helping. So we have your perspective.
Yes.
Mine?
Yes. Because we don't.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah, we want your perspective.
Was it listening? That's all. O'Brien asks Tosk what he's referring to, but Tosk refuses to discuss it. He cannot talk about the greatest adventure one could ever desire. Now, everyone wants to know. Everybody.
At the very end of the scene, Quark brings their drinks over. And did you see Tosk just like lean over? He just looks into the mug.
Looking down.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
His physicality, Scott McDonald, knocking it out of the park.
Okay, was it not interesting how Scott McDonald was also so complete? The character was so completely literal.
Oh,
yes.
Almost like he was on the spectrum.
Yeah, most definitely.
Almost like Forrest Gump.
Even though it was like a language thing.
Very Forrest Gumpish. Yes. All right. Yeah. I almost added a run, Forrest, run into my haiku, but run, Forrest, but run. Tosk run Tosk is only three syllables, so I couldn't do
next
it.
Next time.
Yeah,
we go to Ops next.
Miles. Oh, what do you think of that last alien that he talked to? That was a weird looking alien. It looked like his skin was a brain. His skin
was there. Like a weird thing going on here.
Well, he was lying his face down, so he wasn't really showing.
It looked
his face,
like a squished. But his face was very squished and weird looking. Yeah,
I'll let you take that over.
Yeah, okay, we'll take it over. Robbie, Ops, maybe?
Yeah, we go to Ops. Miles is telling Sisko that he's starting to like this guy.
It's Kira, Bashir, Sisko, and O'Brien continuing to discuss Tosk. Yes. O'Brien believes that Tosk is on the run, but that he doesn't have criminal intentions, that he's a stand-up alien. I want to say stand-up guy, but that's not right. Stand-up alien.
He's a stand-up alien,
but
Sisko...
he's quirky and it's weird, but he trusts him. He trusts that he's not a bad guy.
He's trusting him, but it's interesting because Sisko and Dax are getting more suspicious. Like, they're worrying more at this point.
Yes. And I don't think Dax is in this scene, though. Is Dax in this scene? I wrote Kira, Bashir, Sisko, and O'Brien. Are you in there too?
Okay, Dax,
in
the background. She says, but he didn't exactly tell the truth either.
Oh, right.
And there was that shift focus moment where she was, where Dax was in the background.
Were they rack focus? Okay. That one?
They rack focus.
You still love me.
It was a little, Garrett, how can you not notice Terry Farrell in this scene?
It's okay. He's very.
I have loved Terry Farrell from the moment I met her. Okay,
but
first second that I met her, and she drove in my car around Paramount Lot. Yes. I was trying to impress her. Okay,
I sat in the passenger seat.
I think you sat in the seat and we spoke. We talked is what happened. I don't think I drove around the lot.
Yes,
really?
You did. Yes.
I don't.
You're so excited.
So here
excited.
I am at Paramount Studios going vroom, vroom, like driving around the Paramount lot.
Yes, it was
lot.
A very rare
you were
moment
very
that you got to have your car
that
there.
Car.
You were.
I was excited. I was very excited.
And I was thinking, where were you when I was looking for a car?
Okay, this is how it started, Robbie. Okay? It started because...
No, BMW.
It was a BMW.
No, not his car. Terry, what kind of car did you get?
I went from my... the coolest Datsun Z.
Yes.
350, 50th anniversary turbo.
Wow.
I bought it when I was 19 from my paper dolls pilot money.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. It got totaled on my way to my first day of work.
This is the car, the rental car that then Sid thought that's the cool car.
No. This is 350. They're only made like, I don't know, like 5,000 of them.
Right.
The Datsun 300ZX.
Yeah.
So turbo. Mm-hmm. And it had 50th anniversary in the whole, like, I wrote a check for it for my paper dolls.
Yeah. And at that time it was Nissan. Yeah. They'd switched from Datsun to Nissan. Nissan 300ZX. Yes. I know the car.
Yes.
And you crashed it. And then.
No, I didn't crash it. Some asshole drove into me
into
as I was turning left. Oh. Yes. And
right when you were
Bobby
starting
Della Santina had to come get me in the Paramount van. And then the guy sued me because he knew I was working for Paramount.
Oh my God.
And then he didn't show up. So it was okay. But the stress I went under thinking I was I'm being sued, Robbie. We're both Midwesterners. That is like the kiss of death. I'm being sued.
I have to go to court. I'm in trouble. Somebody's mad at me.
Okay. Okay.
Exactly.
You know what? You should, when Della, what's his name? Della Fina? Della, what's his name? The guy to come pick you up.
Can I just tell you right now how much I love you right now?
Della, Delafina, Delafina,
Anyway, there's in the future, I have more stuff to say about him. Robbie, yes. Della Santina.
Della Santina. Yes. Well, yes. When he came up in the Paramount van, when that guy saw that, and then he knew that you worked for Paramount, you should have said, oh, that's my dad. He came to pick me up from work, and he's his work. So then you could have played
we
off like you didn't work at Paramount.
We
didn't
have words. We didn't. Oh, but we didn't. Geez. He's on the Paramount van, and that was my very first day of actually being filmed. Oh, I got picked up from an accident.
Oh, wow. Then you had a rental car, correct? After that? Yes.
No, then I borrowed Marina's car.
Oh, that's it. You borrowed Marina's car, and then Sid saw
and Marina's then Sid saw that. That was Marina's the cool car. Was my and
your car.
Car.
Okay.
And you're like, no, right. my Nissan 300ZX is the cool car.
Oh, he was so disappointed. And the one I was driving was blue and navy, and the one he was driving was like emerald green. Anyway, back to
our story.
Just a quick story. Charlie Russo walked up to me and said, you and Robert Beltran have the two shittiest cars in the cast right now. I had a Nissan Sentra. No, it was a Nissan Sentra.
Sentras are cool cars.
It's a base Sentra? Level Nissan. It's an economy car.
It's not cool.
The Sentra is like the
he
not
was hanging
cool car.
On by his fingernails.
Yes. Yeah. And I know it's not cool because I remember after we shot the pilot.
Yeah, but you
I
just was... like going to the M3 is like huge.
Well, because Russo said we had the two crappiest cars. And it's true. Robert Beltran had a Celica, but it had the gray on there. Like the back quarter panel hadn't been painted because it was in an accident. So it looked like a mess. And so he was making fun of us.
Yeah, but we're poor actors.
The best thing was after the pilot was airing, the whole first season, I was driving that Sentra. I was parked on Ventura Boulevard at a stoplight. Two Navy guys in uniform look over and see my face. They recognized me. I know they did. And they were like, oh, it's Harry Kim. And then they looked at the car like, oh, that's not him, like that. And they drove on because the minute they saw the car, they're like, oh, that's not him. They were no longer excited. They're like, there's no way that he would be driving a Nissan Sentra.
They were disappointed.
So that sort of urged me to say, I'm going to buy the coolest BMW I can find. And so I did. And that's why I had the M3. And eventually Beltran upgraded as well. So, but thank you to Charlie
Russo. But your M3 was freaking cool.
It was nice. It was a nice car. Yeah,
it was. Okay. No, it was cool. All
right. Thank you.
You don't want to ride? I'm like, yeah, I love cars.
It was nice. It had the throatiest engine. It was amazing. It was so nice.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, we're in the corridor. Tosk is working on a junction box. And this is awesome because as he's kind of doing his thing, a framed painting on the wall.
A painting in the hallway. I'm like, when have we ever seen a painting in the hallway of any store?
I was going to say,
we're in a corridor.
I don't remember a painting either.
Why would you have
it? Was Odo. He was pretending to be.
Yeah, it was
Odo.
But still. It's so funny that there's a framed painting.
But I do remember
painting.
Him melting down like.
Yes.
Yeah.
But from a painting, it was very. Yeah.
I would have been a bulkhead. I would have been part of the bulkhead.
Why light fixture or something.
Exactly. Part of the carpet, right?
Yeah. Light fixture. Good idea, light fixture.
Tosk disappears though when Odo appears, and then Tosk goes invisible. So
is this the move to be invisible? Because he always does that to go invisible.
Yes, he does.
There's a move. He's like,
yes. Maybe Scott McDonald was like a modern dancer. I think he was in Cats.
He could have been.
He could have been in Cats.
And this is what Aaron Eisenberg would do when he did the dance. Aaron Eisenberg did a dance later.
That was me.
Does this? Was that you?
That's funny.
No, that was my contribution.
Oh, you started it.
Being a Shirley Cat.
Oh, and then
we made up that dance together.
And Aaron came. Oh, that's right. So Aaron and you made it.
No,
you
we both had to do it together. David Livingston was directing another episode, Wedding.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that then.
Don't spoil it for me.
We're not gonna spoil it.
The picture disappears. There's Odo. Mm-hmm. Then Tosk goes invisible with the cat's move.
Yeah.
And then
force fields.
Odo says, erect force fields at either end. He sort of traps him there. Odo says he's gonna have O'Brien look and see exactly what's going on with the ship. Mm-hmm. If Tosk isn't gonna talk, and they escort him out. So he's surrendered at this point. Goes to a holding cell, right?
Well, we call it the brig. They call it the holding area on Deep Space Nine. They don't even say cells. They go the holding area. It's a much nicer way of referring
it. It's very sweet.
Nice?
I like it.
Yeah, yes. Very friendly.
As dark as we are,
as dark as you are, you have a great name.
Jail.
Yeah. And you don't have a sick bay. You have an infirmary. It sounds so much nicer than a sick bay, what we had. So. All right, go ahead.
Well, Tosk is in the holding area. He refuses to talk. Miles shows up. He reveals that he was trying to break into the weapons lockup. But Tosk won't answer any of this.
None of that's explained, which is really irritating, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All he'll say is, I am Tosk.
Yeah.
Yes.
But,
Tosk should have been the title of this episode. That's all. I'm going to say it again.
I think Sisko's line is good, though. When he's like, when he says, I am Tosk, he goes, and does that explain everything? Does that mean something? So he's on the right path. Yes. He is on the right path. Okay.
Yeah. But what? Captive Pursuit does explain the episode, but I Am Tosk, I think would be a much more.
God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Miles O'Brien in the scene does start to reveal that he's like begging him to tell him what's going on.
That's after Sisko and Odo leave. So
O'Brien's still there. He begs him to tell him what's going on. And Tosk just says, let me die with honor.
Yeah.
And O'Brien really likes him and he can't imagine who would want to kill him.
Right.
And he keeps saying that. He has said that a lot throughout the episode. I want to die with honor, or let me die with honor, which is a little disconcerting because what the hell does that mean?
Right. We don't know what he's saying at all. And it's shocking, actually, because this is the first time we hear him say, I want to die with honor. And then it's repeated over and over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It feels like a suicide mission. It's starting to feel like he was on some kind of suicide mission.
Okay. This is dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why O'Brien is maybe a little naive. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why he's picking up on this. He was sent on some dangerous mission and he cares about this guy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. O'Brien tells Odo that he feels responsible now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's adopted Tosk.
Right.
And which I think is very sweet.
It is. But he does reiterate to Odo. He feels that Tosk has zero bad intentions, that he trusts him, that he feels that there's something, he's innocent in a way. So,
But he says, we've got to find out, what the secret is. He's not talking. So we've got to figure it out.
That's right.
And
is
then
this
we go.
He's like, are we like about 30 minutes in now?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Is this when that O'Brien is pretty emphatic about it? Because there's a certain point where he's kind of emphatic about, like, I don't know what's going on. But he's not a bad guy, but something's going on.
He was starting to get that way in this scene with Odo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. He's getting more emphatic. That we go to ops next. Well, actually, we go to space first, and this other ship comes through the wormhole, looks just like Tosk's,
but there's bigger.
Another ship, but bigger, exactly. Mm-hmm. Comes through. We go to ops. They let us know that they match these new ships with Tosk's signatures, same signatures there. Mm-hmm. They try hailing this new ship. There's no answer. Suddenly, a white light appears and sort of out in space, sort of and scans them. mm-hmm. on the bridge. Mm-hmm. Kira raises all the shields.
But Sisko says, Sisko says, hold on. He said, let them get a look at us and then raise them. So not off the bat, right?
Yeah, this light passes through, which I couldn't tell if that was a real, like a practical light that Marvin Rush did, or if it was all visual effects. Do you remember, Terry, any of that scene, or maybe not? Was I in it?
No, you're not in it.
Not in it.
No, she is in it. She is in it.
Is she in it?
What are you talking about?
Okay, fine.
Am I in it?
Doesn't know when you're in the scene. I can't believe he doesn't know. Yes, she says it's a modulated particle beam. Okay, she knows what the beam is.
So you know what the beam is, but yeah, I don't think Terry.
Garrett, you got to pay attention to when Dax
is
in.
It is very hard. Let me just say right now to everyone. Yes. Everyone, I am watching this with new eyes. I'm enjoying the show. I'm making notes. Yeah. I am making
in your homework book,
freaking notes in my like normal needs, regular
that's,
everyday
that's
Joe
like back to school supplies. Through. I know,
right? And there are things that I don't pick up on, and I wonder if it's not just that it's there were things that were so normal that I don't think of them as being special to make a note of.
Well, it's an interesting idea you bring up, because like Garrett and I were both actors on our show, but I went more on the production side. Well, I shifted my career.
I was
right?
making so, a joke. No, I'm sorry.
I was always watching, even when we were acting, I was watching the crew. Like, how are they setting up that shot? How are they doing that effect? There's a guy up there with a pole and since I've been directing, I work with a lot of actors. They don't want to know that. They're like, you do your job. I'm going to focus on my scene and my acting. And it's interesting to me because I was so obsessed with all that stuff.
Oh, if I had extra energy, I would have loved to know everything. There are countless times between modeling and acting that I think I wish I was paying more attention to the camera. But the truth is, my job took so much of my energy, I couldn't do everything else that was going on. That was just my reality. So there are things that you're saying that I'm like, I can't keep up with.
Yeah.
Because I go, wow, I wasn't even looking at that. Yeah. And you guys are looking at different things than I am.
I also want to say to you that if you watch it more than once, those things will pop up. So in my preparation for
every single...
I don't
want to watch it more than once.
Well, I used, to be honest, Tara, I watch each of these episodes about 3 to 4 times before I even come into this thing. Yeah, because like different things pop up. I keep watching it over and over again.
He gets the prize. All right. So trophy to Garrett.
You're
right,
I believe
though.
There's so many little things that pop up.
The next episode we're together on is Dax.
Well,
That's very difficult for me. I
bet it is.
Had a hard time writing notes on that. Terry,
hit pause when you write the notes so that you don't miss anything. Because while you're writing notes, as it's going on, you're missing stuff immediately. You see what I'm saying?
I do pause.
You do pause.
That's for sure. Okay. But what I'm trying to explain, which I think the fans would find interesting, is there's things like we do in every day that don't seem notable to me because it was so everyday to me
on the set.
And yes.
Okay.
And I'm finding that interesting listening to you guys, because I'm thinking, wow, that was everyday to me. Or I was so focused on probably just my lines than to worry about everything else.
I think that's true.
Yeah, and it is weird to watch yourself. This will be an interesting thing to watch the evolution of all of this. I'll watch Dax tomorrow morning again before we do our thing.
Exactly.
Because I didn't even know how to write notes, because I'm like, how do I? I'm going to give it away. It's going to be really hard for me because it's such an interesting episode where we can't talk about end result.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So, I did not see that coming, by the way.
Yeah.
I did not.
Right?
Until
I haven't even watched the ep yet, so I'm going to have to watch it after this. So
you
don't
haven't?
Spoil it for me. No.
No, we'll talk to you tomorrow about
it. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
All right. So jumping back to this.
Back to this episode.
Once Kira puts the shields up, the shields are up, and now the alien vessel starts to use tech that nobody in Starfleet knows,
because
it disrupts the shields entirely. Just short circuits them.
O'Brien
done.
Doesn't recognize this. No. It's got radiation. No. He's never even seen or heard of before. They reverse their shields.
Yes.
And they beam aboard our ship.
They beam onto the promenade.
They beam onto the promenade. Yes. We they locate them in the ops. They're on the promenade.
Did you guys like the beam in?
They were super scary.
What did you think of the beam in?
I don't know if I like the beam in.
You know what the beam in looked like? Let me just tell you what the beam in
looked like. It looked like a tube.
Do you remember in the original Karate Kid where Daniel LaRusso's character goes to the Halloween party and he has the little single shower curtain around him?
Yeah.
That's what it looked like. It like a little single shower curtain that beams them in and then beams them out. It was a weird, kind of weird look, but different from Starfleet, sort of giving us that notion of this is an advanced race that is completely different from Starfleet and any other race that we've seen in the Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they definitely,
and this is their tech. Yeah. So, but I think they could have come up. But then again, this is 1992, right? 93. So the visual effects is not as good.
That.
Yeah, it's not as good as it was later.
1992 is when we filmed it. 93 was when it aired.
Yeah.
I would say it felt a little lacking in the technology that I would have thought was happening. The first thing I thought of when I saw these
the beam in.
Yeah, the Beeman, the new aliens, was
it felt vintage. It felt like retro sci-fi.
Yes,
to
it
me.
Felt like Devo.
Oh,
Devo the band.
Yes, that was the first thing I thought of. I was like,
wow.
Yes, that was the first thing I thought of when I saw it, and I was like,
Devo.
But
is
they're
kind of
scary, but old-fashioned scary.
Okay,
was it not old-fashioned scary?
It felt vintage. It felt old-fashioned.
Vintage.
To me.
Okay. Yes, it was disappointing. Yeah.
Well, okay, so the gang shows up to confront them, right?
So now up, but Odo even runs around. He's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then guess what? Odo, I mean, it goes a commercial break when Sisko says, ready phasers, okay? And then we come back, and Odo makes the move towards them. Now, here's the inconsistency here. The first alien knocks Odo in the face, but in the pilot episode, when that alien has that little spiky weapon and throws it at Odo, it goes through his
face.
So when does he decide that an object will go through his face or not?
He didn't catch it.
I forgot about that.
Maybe he doesn't
Robbie,
catch it.
Am I making
enough.
Sense here? Am
no,
I
making you're totally sense? Making
totally
sense.
Making
fish,
sense.
That fish should go right through Odo's face. He shouldn't have been knocked back like that. It should have been Sisko walking up and Sisko getting knocked back, not Odo.
I feel so much love that you're pointing that out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a small
good
thing.
Call.
Yeah.
It's a big action sequence, though.
Yes. Huge.
And the writers aren't watching this to get upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're over it. They had their own.
Yeah.
Issues.
So they're firing their phasers at him, right? Yes. So their regular uniform has some type of armor because the stun doesn't stun them. They seem to be almost impervious to them. Then they have these almost like Wonder Woman with her little magic bracelet.
Yeah.
They're able to absorb all and kind of deflect all the other phasers with their forearms. So they have all this
crazy.
Wait,
he's doing the movement. It's kind of cute.
This crazy thing like that. So just it's you know. Different stuff we've never seen before.
It was a vintage action sequence, too.
Yeah. It was
an old school action sequence. It felt,
that no one needed to film again.
No. I think this was the last one ever filmed. I think they ever did one.
They never did another one after
that, right? Wait.
Okay.
Yes.
There's more.
I think we did some on Voyager, too.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
But they realize Odo, you know, says he thinks it's Tosk that they're after. And Kira even thinks maybe they've got a right to him. The aliens eventually, in this big action sequence, they blow out the security office door.
Yeah.
And enter this holding area.
Yeah.
The aliens come in, but we don't see Tosk in there. Mm-mm. And then they've got a special light on their helmet that sort of lights up and scans
it's a red light, red circle light.
Yes. Yes, because red lights mean scary.
Yes. Everything red is scary.
It
always
is.
Always scary. Yeah. But it reveals Tosk, and then Sisko and Odo and O'Brien enter as well. And the hunter calls to his pals that he's got Tosk.
That the hunt is over.
The hunt is over. Yes.
But it's bad because he caught him alive. And that is the greatest dishonor for Tosk. to be caught alive and being brought. And he talks about all the things that are going to happen to him. We're going to put you on public display so the kids will make fun of you, so everyone's will know that you were a failure, basically. So it's a really horrible thing that's happening now to Tosk. And he didn't really, you know, want to get he didn't want to get caught because he has to always run. Right. So this is a very sad scene.
Well, he also says in the beginning of the scene, the hunter accuses Tosk of telling, you know, our character, our actors, everything.
Right.
And he says, no, I didn't say anything. I didn't tell them.
Thing.
And I'm thinking, why? Like, why not tell people? Like, why is that a rule that you can't tell anybody?
That you can't have any assistance from anybody.
It's a very difficult culture to understand.
It is.
I guess so.
And I think that's what's beautiful about this story is we're learning about a culture. An entity that we don't understand.
Yeah.
That doesn't value life the same way we do.
The same way. Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree.
And this is our first real, like, bam of that, right?
And this hunt to this society is basically their Super Bowl. I mean, this is the biggest thing in their society is to do this.
Like, it feels almost like a spiritual or religious sort of.
Yeah. That could be it too.
Feels that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Like he's going to go to, golly, yeah, like a whole, like, you're going to Valhalla.
Yes, exactly.
If you do this hunt with honor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Sisko, once he realizes this is a hunt, he tells the hunter boss guy to come to his office.
The hunter boss guy.
Garrett Graham.
But he tells the hunter boss guy, come to my office. And if you don't come to my office, we're prepared to fire on your ship.
Yeah.
And so hunter boss guy does reluctantly. He can't believe this is over this Tosk, he says. He's like, over this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna start a war with us over this?
Sisko is very emphatic, though, in his office. He says, I have no tolerance for the abuse of any life form. And the hunter kind of says, like, you know what? What abuse? I mean, the look on his face when he goes, abuse? No. He goes, we honor the Tosk. And he starts to say how courageous they are and how noble they are. And this is their way, you know? And then he says, okay, fine. Wormhole, out of bounds for the hunt. That'll make you happy. And Sisko just gives him the look of death, basically. He's just like, fine. If that's the best I can get, that's the best I can get. Hunter boss asks for the release of Tosk. And that's when Sisko walks out of his office into ops and tells everybody that he's agreed to release Tosk. O'Brien is not happy. He's protesting.
O'Brien is really upset.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his buddy.
Yep. You know?
Yeah. Kira suggests asylum, right? That's her suggestion. And I love how O'Brien runs into the holding area.
He runs into the holding area.
He ran from ops to say, like, you can get out of this. You can do it. It was just, it was a cute scene, just how he was out of breath.
Yeah. And it does feel like a great idea and the right answer. And then Tosk says, no, I can't stay here with your protection. You know,
yeah, that's even more dishonorable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sad. It's really sad.
He thanks O'Brien.
But it makes sense.
Does. Yeah. Does.
I did like, by the way, at the end of the scene, it's a very, with O'Brien and Tosk, a very sad, like, I'm starting to, you know, like this relationship and this adopted, you know, buddy that he's got. And, little brother or whatever. And when Tosk says, no, I'm not going to ask for asylum. And thank you. I can't do this. And O'Brien leaves. There's this beautiful sort of wide shot. And there's Tosk sitting with his head down on the bench in this holding area. And to me, it looked like a painting. I don't know if it's, you know, sometimes directors will base shots. They'll have an artist or a painting or an image they want to recreate. This was a beautiful image, I thought.
I saw that image that you're talking about. It's just him, and it was from pretty far back, right? Where it really showed the extent of it. And
100%.
It was lit perfectly. And that Cardassian holding area, it looked amazing. It looked 10 times better than our brig on Voyager. It really did.
And Tosk was just sitting there with his head down to the ground. It told a story.
Nearly despondent.
Great choice by Corey Allen, because that clearly Corey, you know, wanted that shot, and it looked amazing. It was so good.
Like, hello, thank you for using the medium to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes, exactly. Not just close-ups everywhere, but it was telling the story with a cinematic shot that was beautiful.
Yeah.
That made our hearts go out to Tosk.
Yeah.
We go to Quark's. Mm-hmm. Quark is complaining about all these aliens from the Gamma Quadrant.
Mm-hmm. Not buying drinks.
When is he not complaining? O'Brien's very grumpy. And Quark asks, more trouble with a little woman? And O'Brien gets really pissed. He grabs him by the collar here.
Wait, he says, shut up, Quark, first of all, right?
Yeah.
Like, has anyone on Voyager said shut up to another character? I don't even think that's ever happened in seven years. Like, Janeway's never said, shut up, Tom, like that. I just no one's ever said that. And so I was like, wow, the realism on DS9. My goodness.
Star Trek.
The Dark Trek.
Dark Trek.
Yeah. Dark Trek.
Yeah. Or I don't even say Dark Trek. I'm going to say Reality Trek instead of Reality Check. Reality Trek in a way. Yeah. So
yeah, much more real, like how you'd respond. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he tells him to shut up. He grabs him by the collar. He's really angry. And Quark realizes that he's being bothered by something. Mm-hmm. And O'Brien admits that it was the rules of the hunt. Mm-hmm. That he's frustrated because of these rules of the hunt. And then all of a sudden O'Brien's like, wait a minute, rules?
Yeah.
Thinks about Ferengi rules
of
acquisition. And he goes, I can just change the rules of the game. Or maybe Ferengi rules of you know, whatever rules. The Ferengi kind of mindset is the inspiration of let's change the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has an epiphany.
I thought that was great. Yeah.
And I did make a mistake earlier when I talked about Quark talking to that alien that had the brainy head. It's here.
Oh, it's here after O'Brien runs out.
It wasn't earlier. It was now. Yeah, this is when that alien he runs out. He walks over.
I did that in earlier episodes, so I think you're totally forgiven. At least in my book, because I've done it.
I should know better. So
we go to Ops next. Miles O'Brien. He sneaks in. He accesses power at the security checkpoint. Mm-hmm. And on the promenade, we go over to the holding area and the hunter puts a manacle around Tosk's neck, like a leash, basically, a collar and a leash. And Odo argues, you know, that's not necessary. But the hunter says our rituals require it when a Tosk is captured alive.
Yeah.
And then suddenly O'Brien comes in and he's armed. And O'Brien says, I'll escort this prisoner to the transporter station. Odo says, this is a security matter. And O'Brien says, this order's from Sisko. It's Starfleet matter. I've got to. So O'Brien is lying. Oh, he's lying to save his adopted little brother.
But Odo marches off after that, right?
Does that really bother you?
No. He's being heroic. He's doing the right thing.
Ultimately trust him. We've learned that Miles O'Brien is a trustworthy character.
Yeah, no.
Right. So if he's going to go off on his
break
own
the rules. Yeah.
Thank you. We know that this is morally the high ground.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If that's the direction he's going. Totally. I mean, it's certainly been written in this formula. Mm-hmm. We have to trust O'Brien.
Yes.
Because he's our anchor through this entire episode.
Oh, yeah. His care and affection for this alien is the audience. That's the audience's point of view, is that, you know, they're through O'Brien's kind of point of view.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So Odo leaves. And then the hunter says, our main hunter guy, hunter boss man, mm-hmm. he says, don't trouble yourself. My ship will transport us. And O'Brien uses the logic that it's the tradition. It's a tradition of respect in their society to you know, escort them. It's goodwill, a token
made
of
up.
Goodwill. Yeah, he's totally making this up.
Yeah.
But because honor and due, you know, respect and traditions are all like the logic
those
they're
words.
Using, he turns it on them.
Yeah.
And as he's leaving, he throws his comm badge onto Odo's desk, mm-hmm. which is definitely a sign that he's
going
gone rogue.
Incommunicado. Yes.
Gone rogue.
He's gone rogue.
Who doesn't want to go rogue?
Yes. Who doesn't? Yeah. Yes.
We have a quick scene in the commander's office where Odo is, you know, pretty pissed. Starfleet has no business taking charge. Sisko's like, wait a minute. No, Constable, I didn't say anything to O'Brien. Yes. And then that's when Sisko realizes, uh-oh. So he hails. He tries to hail O'Brien on his comm badge, but no answer. No answer.
Yeah, there's a shot of just the comm badge. The comm badge all by itself. Or Sisko. And no,
that was awesome, actually.
We go to the promenade, and O'Brien's escorting him to a door, and suddenly a force field knocks the main hunter dude down.
Yeah.
And O'Brien punches him really good. He's like, boom, while he's down. And then he grabs Tosk and they run up a spiral staircase.
But right as that happens, because O'Brien says, like, on the upper level, that we catch up with them on the upper level after they run up the staircase. And that's when O'Brien says, your ship's ready. But that's when an alien has materialized, because after he's knocked down, Hunter boss guy still says into his comm, he kind of goes like, the hunt has resumed. Buddies. Yeah, is what he says, right?
The hunt is back on.
Now, when that alien materializes, Toss does this huge jump where he flies over and then knocks this alien guy out. That, Robbie, was Tom Morga.
Was it really?
Yes. So Tom Morga, who we had as, you know, as on Voyager as well, you can tell because if you look closely, Tom is taller and more slender than Scott McDonald. Scott McDonald is shorter, stockier. Tom Morga is more stretched out. So if you really look closely, you can see there's different in physicality there.
It was a good sequence. The big flying up in the air, the contact, the Starfleet guy going over the rail.
Yeah. It's the first time that you realize that Tosk can handle himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can actually do damage to these hunters. It's not like he's running scared all the time. He actually is smart. He has physical combat moves. He can fly through the air like a superhero in a way. I mean, it was impressive at this point, I felt.
Well, we go to ops. The team's located Miles and Tosk. Mm. And Odo starts to go to stop them, but Sisko says, hold on, there's no hurry. No need to hurry.
I love that.
And that's when suddenly you're like, wait, what is Sisko
thinking?
He's so
on top of it.
Yes. But then the way that Renee played that, I mean, just was so great. Because he nods and he walks two steps, stops, turns around, looks back at Sisko, and then realizes, oh, I know what you're doing.
Oh, I know what you're doing.
I get it now.
And then he walks really slow. He sort of put his arms up on the elevator thing.
And I got to say, this nonverbal kind of stuff that's going on DS9 with these characters, I love it. I love it. It just looks, it's amazing. It's a really good scene there. Really good scene.
Thank you. Get used to it. It's our normal.
Okay, keep going.
It's really great. We go to an access tube. They're crawling through this tube. O'Brien cuts off the neck manacle, that collar thing. Mm-hmm. And O'Brien thinks they're safe in these really thick walls that the Cardassians built, these conduits. They can't scan and find them.
Did you catch the how he said that? He didn't say Cardassian. He called them the Cardies. On Voyager, we never said the Klingons were the Klingies. We didn't say the Kazon were the Kazies. We had no abbreviation. But you guys have an abbreviation.
Cardies.
Which is, again, more realistic.
I don't remember hearing that again.
Did he do it again? Did he ever say that again?
I don't think so.
This is a one-off. But that would have been a good one.
But you know what? First season, you can't hold everything to the Bible in the first season, right?
I agree.
You're trying things.
But I don't remember hearing Cardies.
Yeah, this is not a criticism. This is a compliment.
No,
I like the
you'll
fact
see
that you...
old man doesn't really come back. It's it didn't really work, so it didn't come back. But Cardies is also wow.
But that's more realistic. It's more real life. If you talk about the American military, whenever they fight other countries, they always have nicknames for the enemy.
Yeah.
They never
do.
Say it's the Vietnamese. It's the Germans.
Americans.
You know, Americans do.
Yes, Americans.
I'm pretty sure the other way do the other ways as well. I'm sure. I don't think
do
that
they?
Yeah, they have to.
Tell me.
Nicknames?
Well
the British call us Yanks, right?
Do you want to know?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Very nice things.
So the Germans, when they refer to Italians, they say spaghetti fresher, so spaghetti eaters. Okay. And the Germans, when they refer to the British, they call them Inselaffen, which means island monkeys. So that this is the This is the way it
I thought
goes.
They'd be like scone eaters. What? Scone eaters.
I don't.
Crumpet
I think
eaters. Brian, you know,
I think O'Brien is has evolved past name calling.
He's Irish, which is a whole nother thing.
That's true.
Half Irish, so let me just say, I'm going to stick up for O'Brien.
Okay. Yeah. No, I just like the nicknames. I think it's more realistic.
The Cardies,
more realism.
The Casies.
The Cardies. The Casies. The Clingies.
Okay, so they're in the tube.
CGs,
O'Brien
the
calls them the Cardies, and then they basically lift up what do you call it? That suspended ceiling,
I'm
almost.
So excited to hear what you're about to say.
You know the suspended ceilings when somebody's up in it,
Robbie,
and they pull off the tile.
Robbie's doing
it. I'm acting it out like a mime.
I know he's a mime.
I'm about to pee really bad. Oh no!
I'm doing mime. For those that are just listening to the audio, I actually
Robbie's
just
doing mime moves now, and he did. Okay, go ahead, Robbie.
All right, but they pull this hatch.
Yes, they pulled the
and
hatch.
And then he drops down from the ceiling.
And he jumps that other alien.
Yeah, he jumps onto the hunter boss
and
guy.
And again, that's Tom Morga. If you look closely, it's Tom.
Okay.
This is very exciting.
I will not watch that again, but okay.
I probably will. Okay, go.
Toss drops down. It takes the weapon from the hunter boss guy.
Mm-hmm. Hunter boss guy.
Did you like their weapons? It looked like a crossbow, it kind of had a crossbow
crossbow. Yeah. So after they drop down, they take the crossbow thing. The hunter tries to fire at a Tosk, but he's very heroic. He saves O'Brien, pushes O'Brien, and dodges the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tosk shoots the hunter and his companion, all three in like one
shot. Yeah. So what setting was that on that weapon?
I don't know. Like, Starfleet needs that setting.
That's an amazing weapon. And here's my other question to both of you that I don't know. Are all the hunters incapacitated or are they dead?
I think they've got to be stunned. They can't be dead.
Well, do you notice when they walk over them and you see the shot is from down low? Corey has got the reaction of O'Brien walking over their
bodies. O'Brien looks down at them.
Yes, yeah. And the camera comes down and you see smoke coming out of alien boss guy. It's smoke is coming out of them. So I'm thinking,
I don't know.
Maybe they're done.
How do you wake
up
after
it again.
Smoke? Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
There's a lot
Maybe
there.
Maybe I should watch
I'm
it again.
You.
There is a
Time
lot.
Out. I'll see you in a minute. I'm going to go watch the show again, and I'll be right back.
Well, we'll be done in a minute at that point. Okay.
We get to Tosk's ship. Mm-hmm. They come in. Tosk starts his ship up. He says the hunt is going on, and he invites O'Brien
to join him. Do you remember that one line when he takes the thing off of him? He turns to him. He goes, "Now you are Tosk." And then O'Brien laughs at
them
when they're going to the corridor. So basically, they're partners in the run, in the hunt.
Yeah.
But
that'd be like telling an Irishman he's English.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Not gonna happen.
No.
Yeah, but O'Brien's like, "No, thank you. But you better get out of here while you can."
Yeah.
And there's this very touching moment where Tosk like holds him and looks at him in the eye and says, "O'Brien, die with honor."
Yeah,
O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And but before O'Brien that, concern about from Tosk about will your Federation punish you for helping me? So he's got all the. I mean, there's a bond here. There's a real bond.
Yeah, they both care about each other.
And then that final line, O'Brien, you know, die with honor, O'Brien. And then O'Brien gets it and he looks at him and says, "Die with honor, Tosk," which almost became my last line of my haiku.
Of your haiku?
"Die with honor, Tosk." Yeah, because it's five.
Why?
I almost ended it.
Why not?
They're speaking poetry to each other.
You know what?
Exactly.
That's alternate ending then. How's that? I'm going to have that as an alternate
ending. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it, Harry Kim.
All right.
Thank you.
So... Tosk, O'Brien leaves. We go out to space. We see Tosk's ship fly away. He escapes. And we go to the commander's office. Sisko basically wants a report from O'Brien. O'Brien is admitting that he overloaded the weapon sensors to help Tosk escape.
Mm-hmm.
Sisko is furious at him in this scene.
Yeah, but is he?
Wait. I think this is so classic Star Trek.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
It's so classic Star Trek. Like, he's got a feign the anger because he's really proud of him for doing what he'd really want to do, but he couldn't do.
Yes.
Yeah, because O'Brien's leaving at the end after he's getting chewed out by the boss. And then he walks out and he goes, wait a minute, I wonder why you didn't just locate us and, you know,
put us behind a force field.
Stop us but with a simple force field.
Yeah.
And Sisko's like, I guess we must have missed that. Oh, well.
Yeah. Right, you must be off on your next film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as Avery Shaw said, have fun on the next film you're working on. Bye. And so then as he leaves, camera's on Sisko. Sisko turns the camera and he says dismissed. He turns the camera and a little smile creeps up on his face, which is like, yes.
Yeah, it was great.
Good ending.
I totally had a reaction to that. It was just like, oh, my heart felt warm. Like,
it was nice.
Is that the best? Those are those moments that you wish you could see in your own real life when other people have that about you.
Yes. A little bit of a secret.
We don't realize how many people are like so happy for you.
Yeah.
So
they just can't show it.
No.
I wish that Sisko could have just shown Miles how proud he was of him.
That much.
Yeah. I wish Sisko.
But Miles must have known. I mean, my God, he was with Picard, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What are your what's your underlying lesson here? Your overall lesson like that from this episode?
My lesson is that we should all try to live a life that we can be proud of. That's my lesson. What about you?
I'm going to say live and let live. Don't try to force your morals, your ethics, your whatever, your belief system on others. Don't judge, you know, they just, you know, you got to be open-minded. That's the main thing I think is the biggest lesson. Be open-minded to other people's cultures and societies, which because oftentimes they can do something which is diametrically opposed to what you think is right or wrong. Yeah. Right. And you have to realize, hey, that's not wrong in their culture or society. Yeah. And whose business is it of yours to say that they are wrong? Right. That's how they grew up. Their parents taught them that. Their grandparents taught them that. They'll teach their kids the same way. And that's not our business.
You're basically saying you're speaking prime directive here, Garrett.
I'm speaking prime directive. Yes.
Live and let live. Live and let live. Stay out of people's business.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
What do you think, Terry? You got a lesson?
Don't judge a book by its cover.
That's another good one. That's a very good one.
I actually thought that it was remarkable how trusting O'Brien was in the beginning. Because my spidey senses were like zing, zing, zing.
Yeah.
But he was like so calm and cool. And I thought, wow, I wish I could be more like that. I wish I could, but I want more information. But why not be more gentle and assume innocence, assume something gentle instead of danger, Will Robinson, right?
Yeah.
So I think that I mean, I'm just being honest, but it's
that's good.
Yeah, right. My son's more like that. I would say, well, he's 19 and I'm 60. So,
but I think that's the beauty of like of youth in a way is that you don't assume the worst that you know.
But then again, wonderful. Our assumptions are based on our life experience as well. Yeah. So the lack of experience, but you wouldn't say that about O'Brien. I just loved how trusting he was. And I felt like because of all the experience
he was looking for the best
had,
in the situation.
Yes. Yeah. And with all the experience he'd had by being on Next Gen and now being on our show on Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
You think he's bringing this wealth of knowledge that 99% of the time it's gonna work out, and that scared person is someone we need to support. And that was something that Max is giving me and watching this episode has given me is take the gentle road. When somebody's scared or nervous, step back and allow them some space to give them some support and then see what's after that.
Yeah. I love that relationship. I really did. I love the friendship and the chemistry that those two characters had. I thought it was great. Well, thank you everybody for joining us for Captive Pursuit. What a fun episode that was. For our Patreon patrons, stick around for all of your amazing bonus material. That's coming up next. And for everybody else, we'll see you next week when we discuss the episode Q-less. We'll see you next week.
Bye.